be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before all, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a powerful message for us that Jesus gives immediately after the Beatitudes. He reminds us of our identity under two titles, salt and light. It's important for us to grasp that this wasn't at the conclusion of Jesus' public ministry. This is at the beginning of his public ministry. The crowds were just coming to him. It says here, Jesus said to his disciples, but they were his starting disciples, the first graders, not the graduate students. And he reminded them of who they are. We could almost say, by their existence. This is going to be intensified by our Christian discipleship and apostolate. But it begins by the way God has created us, we can say. Salt and light. We need to look fundamentally, not just at the end game of our living up to these two titles, but at the beginning. God has created us to be salt and light, and he's given us his grace that strengthens us as both. Salt, mentioned a few times before that salt had a threefold function in the ancient world, and Jesus is describing all three. First and foremost, it prevented things from going to corruption, like, for example, meat or fish. We, as Christians, are supposed to prevent culture from going into corruption. Supposed to help others not be corroded. We're supposed to retard others from getting worse, but to help them, in fact, stay where they are so that we can strengthen them to get better. How well do we do that? You know, in the church, a lot of the times we just are too cowardly to point out the aspects of our culture that are going down the tubes. So many priests are afraid, for example, to talk about pornography, to talk about materialism, to talk about a belligerency, to talk about this culture of waste that Pope Francis continues to rail about. Are we the types of people who, just being in others' presence, prevent them from getting worse? That's what Jesus is first saying. Second purpose of salt was as a fire starter. Still today, in many poorer parts of the world, you use dung as pellets for heat, but it always has to be salted first. You can't light the dung on fire. So the dung was heavily salted and then ignited. It's the salt that could catch fire quickly, but then once the salted dung became ignited, it would burn and burn hot for a while. Sorry to disgust you early in the morning, but it's true. We're supposed to be able to hit the detritus of the world and help light it on fire. It's one of the ways God seeks to bring good out of the world. Are we those fire starters? Are we that starter wood? Can the Lord send us into a place like he used to send St. Philip Neri, who used to just start at the street corner with the question, "When, brothers, are we going to begin to do good?" And he would eventually lead them to do good. To start this fire is the second purpose of salt. Third purpose of salt is the one that remains today. It's to give flavor. We are supposed to bring life. We're supposed to bring flavor to the world. I'm going to come back to this in a second. Second, identity is to be light. Light which shows the path so that others can see, and light that warms so that others are not able to be cold and isolated. We have both paths. Church has to be like the lights on a runway in the middle of a tremendously cloudy day, so that others know where they need to go, where they need to land. I'm not sure if you remember Die Hard 2, if you're old enough to remember a little bit of these Bruce Willis things out at Dulles Airport after the bad guys had taken over the air traffic controller thing and all these planes were flying around in the midst of a storm and about to crash. It was our hero, McClane, John McClane, who went on out there and torched the runway so that everybody would be able to see where they could land. We're meant to be those spiritual John McClanes, going on out and helping people not get lost, but to know where they're supposed to go. Our example, our words, our communities, the magisterium. We're supposed to give that light. We're also supposed to give that warmth. Light is not enough today in an emotivist age. We really need that warmth. If people only see the light, you know, I mean, there's a reason why the whole world doesn't go to be with the Dominicans. Because a lot of the times the Dominicans are great in teaching, but they can sometimes be a little distant in terms of where people are at, because sometimes their heads are still stuck in 13th century books. We need to give that warmth at the same time. People need to know the church's love, because that is the greatest light of all. The greatest light is the words that flow from our faith. But Jesus says something here, the great warning that he gives is that salt can lose its saltiness, and then it's good for nothing. And light can be hidden under a bushel basket. And this is a huge problem in the church today. And sisters, just to level with you, often it's a huge problem in religious life. It's a huge problem in the priesthood. Because we overreact against the capital sin of pride. So we don't take singular gifts seriously. And so we don't want to be too salty. We don't want to have too much personality. We don't want to give too much flavor. Because if we really are the life of the party, the fear is that we're going to be drawing too much attention to ourselves. And so what do? We attenuate the saltiness. We don't allow our light to shine. We don't want to be up there as the city on the hill, because the one who seemingly exalts herself will be humbled. And so we've got to hide ourselves under that bushel basket we tell ourselves. Or sometimes even in formation in certain religious institutes, this is what occurs. So that nobody really even notices that light that has been given. It's not the way of the gospel. Jesus has given us his flavor, and no one's received the same flavor as we have. And God wants that flavor to season the world. God has given each of us a light, and it's not supposed to be hidden. Even if we were cloistered, even there, we're supposed to live in a light, with a light that illumines at least the other sisters. But maybe by the voice, maybe by the smile, maybe just by the way this anonymous sister in habit greets a stranger who comes to a grill. We're supposed to be illuminating people. In order to be able to be salt that never loses its flavor and light that radiates for all the world to see, we need to believe this and act on it. Sometimes I wonder how much we actually believe it, that this is our vocation. Do we believe it in such a way that we can take the criticisms of others who think that we're shining too much or bringing too much flavor? this example of faith we see in this widow of Zarephath. First, Elijah was a man of faith, and he believed in what the Lord had said, that he would provide this widow to care for him for as long as the heavens were shut. And he went up very much to the north, to Zarephath, near Tyre and Sidon on the coast, and he found that widow, obviously by the way she was dressed. And he asked her for a cup of water, which she obliged, and then for a cake. She was down to her last meal. She was going to prepare it for her and her son. But then the prophet asked for it. It would have been very easy for her to have been selfish. But because she trusted in Elijah, she did what he said. Now, if she had prepared him a little cake, she would have had nothing for her and her son. That would have been their last meal wasted on a stranger. But she trusted in his word. And the jar of flour never was emptied, and the jug never reached its dregs for the entirety of the time of the famine. We need to respond to the Lord's words with that same faith. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And our salt, yours and mine, our light, yours and mine, have the ability to do all that Jesus says. We have the ability to prevent others from going into corruption. We should have total confidence to the Lord who's given us this property to our life, not to mention our baptism. We'll use it in that way as he shakes us wherever we need to go. We do have that ability to light people on fire, even when they feel that they're nothing but a heap of dung. And a lot of the people we'll deal with think that they're even lower than that. We have the ability to bring a lot of zest to life, to make the ordinary experiences of life so much better. We've got that property built on in by who we are. The Lord has illumined us with his light so that we can truly be the light of the world. And through the warmth of our deeds of love, not glorify ourselves, but glorify God. The great miracle of faith by which he continuously gives our salt greater saltiness and makes our light more brilliant is the Mass. It's here where the flour never runs dry, but instead it's converted into bread that's converted into God, so that we might always remain attached to him who is the source of our flavor and our light. And it's here that the chalice never reaches its bottom. As we receive this feast in the midst of our exile, in the midst of whatever famines we may be experiencing, let us ask the Lord for the grace to respond in such a way that our faith might preserve the faith of others and illumine them to walk as children of the light all the way to the place in which there will be no need for lamps. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.